Hey, you're listening to Mom, Wife, and Boss Life, where we have unfiltered conversations. I am your host, Yolanda Villa. Conversation I had with Brooke, I wanted to let you guys know that we had a little bit of audio issues that were not noticed until after the episode was recorded. We tried to clear it as much as possible, but you still might hear a little beeping sound in the background. At the end of the day, it does not take away from the great conversation I had with Brooke, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Today we have Brooke Glover, and she's the president and co-founder of Soul Dog Ciders and Spirits, and the mother too. And your company also does charity work. So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into this industry.
Yeah, so I have a background. I have a master's degree in educational psychology, and my undergrad was in communication. And so I thought, why not make alcohol? That doesn't have anything to do with either one of those things. Right. So I just saw a need in the industry that needed to be filled. I just thought it would be really great to do something with my family, my husband's family, and really like cider. And we were making it at home anyway. And I thought, yeah, I can't find this out on the shelf anywhere. So that's what kind of got us into it. And, you know, one of the big things about our business is we really want to use it, like you said, as a platform to make sure we're giving back and drawing attention to things that we really love and care about.
Got it. So your husband has been doing this as like a family business, or did he also get into it like a, you know, professional job?
He has a full-time job right now. Yes. Yeah. So everybody's got a full-time job, and we were all kind of doing it on the side and until it grow. And honestly, I worked at a technology company, and then I stopped doing that when I was getting ready to have my first daughter. And was doing a lot of things in the business, doing sales, and started to kind of grow. And I was like, wait a minute, I was really going to stay home for the first little bit with our daughter and really focus on that and breastfeeding and all of the good stuff, which I still did. It was really extra fun. It's like, try to take your pump through the airport. It's like the TSA agents have never seen a breast pump before. Like, I promise it's not a bomb. So it's been, that was really fun. But yeah, everybody's got a full-time job. And then I just said, this is growing really fast, and I needed to really focus on it. So
how do you manage that? I know you're the mother of two. So how is that, starting, the brand, you say, jobs on the side, what are your struggles and how have you overcome some of them?
You know, I think it's a lot of the same struggles you get with all working moms, but I think for me, it was, I listened to your postpartum and new beginnings podcast here recently, and it really kind of spoke to me in a lot of ways. I mean, personally, it was a lot of trying to figure out how to do this. And I want to be this person who's able to run this business, but I do have my daughter here crying in the background. So, like, I took my daughter to our first distributor meeting, and now I look back and I'm like, why was I thinking you would never do that? But he was really gracious and he was nice. And I was very naive and didn't have childcare that day, and I wasn't about to miss the meeting. So I think just kind of saying, you know what, I don't work for anybody else right now. And as long as our customers are happy, whatever it takes to get it to them is kind of what I thought about. So that was a little bit of a struggle of me trying to take time to turn it off. Got these little ones here, and they don't care that I have this deadline or that deadline. Right. They want to see me, and that's what's happening. And so just turning that off. And I think it probably helped me to overcome it, to answer your question, is that I don't spend a lot of time on social media and kind of just scrolling through things. I'm very deliberate when I'm doing things on the computer or on my phone. If I'm sitting there scrolling through things on my phone, I'm like, I have to put this down and go and look at my husband, look at my kids, or do something that doesn't involve that. So
I think that's one thing, of being a mom, you multitask, but you things that usually would have taken you a couple hours, because like that, you say you're scrolling on the internet and doing things. I need to get this done. This is my to-do list. Let's focus.
Yeah. I really felt that in your podcast that you were talking about there. And you were just like, everyone's like, you need to relax. And I'm like, I can't. For me, it is relaxing to check things off my list to say I accomplished that. And I felt like, I feel like I'm doing something. So it's, that has been a, that was a struggle, but I'm getting it now. But I will say that it's if you make a decision that you're not going to sacrifice your family for it, for that, you know, it really does affects the business. You know, it has to, something has to give.
Yeah. And I completely agree with that. I agree. Sometimes, you know, we struggle as moms and business owners of something has to, you know, but I think we learn to do, you know, quality time versus quantity time. And right. I think that's one of the things, like you say, like, hey, you know, I'm going to put the phone down and go ahead and focus on my husband or my kids and give them that quality attention of just
sometimes being there. Do feel like you're being needed in some way for everybody and everything. And sometimes you just want to go and sit and not do anything. Or, you know, when your friends are asking you, hey, what are we doing? What are you doing? Let's do something. And you're kind of like, well, I have this that I need to get done, and I've got this with my kids, and I do have to say, I need to go spend time with my friends and have dinner with them. Hard too, because they don't quite understand, you know, a lot of times they're like, what do you mean you can't do this? It's Friday night. I'm like, I know, but
that's something I'm also working on. You know, I'm like, okay, the kids are all settled. Husband's okay. Business is done. Let me go ahead and spend time with myself or, you know, my friends, because, you know, an hour or two, it's refreshing. And once you're there, it's like, okay, it's needed.
I'm always so glad. I'm always like, oh, I can't do this. And then when I do it, I'm like, that was great. I needed that. I didn't realize I needed it, but I did. So, and it is different talking about, I mean, my husband can't possibly understand what it's like to, you know, hear the baby cry and feel like you have to. I mean, when you're used to that breastfeeding, or you're used to kind of getting up with them in the middle of the night, or you're used to being pregnant, it's just different. I don't know. It's hard to blame. He does a great job. He's, I think, like you said, your husband does a lot to help. He really does too. And he's always the one encouraging me to go and go do something. I'm like, I'm good. But then once I do, I'm so glad.
Yeah. And I think that's something that, you know, I'm glad you're touching the topic, because it is a subject of talking to yourself, telling us, you know, we need to focus on this, and, you know, and we let ourselves go, and our self-care and our self-time or fun time, we don't focus on that.
Yeah. It's trying to find time to even go and go for a walk or something. I mean, and to be active in some way. And I don't care what I'm eating. I'm caring what they're eating. I don't care. I'll just eat some cereal or something. But then I'm like, what am I doing to myself here?
Right. So you do have to think about kids?
I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Oh, okay. So they're small. But they're at that age, like, you know, they're understanding something.
They do. And, you know, it's one of those things where you say, if you were to say, I just need some me time, they're like, what are you talking about? But if you're like, mommy's got a little bit of work to do on the computer, they seem to get that. I don't know. They really, really do. And I just finished up some coursework, online coursework to just get better at my business. And I'm taking a cider course right now as well. And I'm getting ready to start a bourbon course right after that. And so they really understand mommy's taking time to learn and to grow and better at something. And so they seem to get that. And I think that's important for them to see that too.
Yeah.
You know, that definitely. I'm not just mommy, and I'm not always working, and I'm not just mommy, and there are other things that I'm trying to do to improve myself that I enjoy, you know,
so right.
It's good for them to see that.
You know, talking about, you know, the mommy part and not going into your business. It says it's a majority female owned business. Is yep. You and
I'm the majority owner. And then my husband's sisters are also involved. They have other full-time jobs too, but when we started everything, we all kind of said, well, let's just start it together. And then the business has really changed more than we thought. We just thought, well, this will be really fun. And then it kind of was like,
it's growing.
This is a business and we can do this. And then now is your whole mindset has changed. So they still have ownership. They help us with sometimes on events on the weekends and things like that. So,
that's good. Yeah. And is how is that with, you know, with family working, you know, together? Is this, I know it's not always peachy, but
yeah. You know what really helps too? It helps that it's me talking to my husband's family, and maybe not my husband talking to them, but I think that when I'm asking for help on things, they're just, I gotta be honest, they're just so gracious, and they're with wonderful people. And I think that helps a lot. I mean, sometimes you see that there are things that come up and there can be like hurt feelings or that this can happen. We kind of have to spend time just addressing that and making sure that we're being kind to each other, you know, but we've kind of reached a point now where I think we all feel really comfortable about what's going on with the business and that I'm
speaking up and not hurt feelings.
I'm running the business. Everyone's like, we kind of trust you at this point. We know you know what you're doing. Enjoy it. And we're here to help however we can, you know? So
that's great.
Yeah. I'm pretty lucky. I don't want to, I don't know, a lot of things. I just recently did I got interviewed for, and it was talking about family businesses. And that was one of the things that they asked, you know, I mean, it can be a problem, you know, but we seem to have reached a really great point where we just all get along in general, you know, personally. So that helps out a lot.
Yeah, that's good. And I think a lot of times when you're first starting off, you know, like same thing, I work with my husband, some family members work with us, his side and my side. And in the beginning, it's a struggle, you know, because some of us, you know, don't know how to, you know, set that boundary of this is business, we're talking business. And then, okay, let's go to the family barbecue tomorrow, you know?
And but, everybody's so mad. And you're like,
oh, right, like, should we show up or not?
Yeah.
but I think once, like you said, you reach that point of everybody gets it. It's for the greater good of the business. And, you know, we're still family at the end of the day. The business runs better.
And it's a lot of trust, too. I mean, I think that we trust each other. And so you can say at the end of the day, you're like, hey, we all trust each other, right? We all feel good about the decisions that are being made. We all discussed it. And we used to discuss every little detail. I mean, I'm telling you, we would sit on the phone for like an hour and talk about t-shirts and what t-shirts we should order for this or whatever for this event. And then it just got to the point where we're like, guys, I was like, we got to go, you know, we got to kind of move on. So everybody's just been, it's just cool to see it. Now everybody's just excited because it's doing well. And
right. When you say that about the meetings, we used to have 1-2 hour meeting discussing the same thing over going back and forth. Now we're, like you say, we're like, just handle it, you know?
You struggle with that with, you know, with if you have an issue with his side of the family or he has an issue with your side of the family, you have to go to each other and be like, hey, you need to handle that with your sister or your whatever. You know,
we used to do that. We used to be like, like you say, it's from who it's coming from. Because, you know, there were his family, you know, he would say it in a bad way or the way I would address it. So just talking to the other side, it was like, okay, you know, we're the good guys.
Right.
But, you know, after a couple of years, we're like, okay, we're good. You know, still talking about the business. Is it a man's world? Or like you say, you know, handling with, you know, the executives or other places, how do you deal with that?
Oh yeah, for sure. It really is a man's world. And I mean, especially at the distributor level, because we have to work with distributors in each state and there are very few females in any role in those places. And so that's different, you know, for sure. And I think that we try to make sure that we notice that. And I think it's like even my family and my husband, they're just, we know that it's not good to be in this echo chamber and you can't have the same type of people you want people from different backgrounds and right. all different walks of life to come in and help. And I think that's where, because we are so aware of that, we notice it in other businesses and in the alcohol business, especially owners, there aren't that many females. And so you do kind of stand out. When I first joined, I'm on the board of the American Cider Association. And when I joined, I was the only female on the board. And I had just had a baby and I was sort of, you know, having to leave meetings to go and pump. And it was just funny. I mean, and I had to miss the second, our second conference, or the second time I'd gone to the conference, because I was very far along in my next pregnancy. So it is tough to try to say, well, sorry, I just have to miss this whole conference and I don't get to network for an entire year because I'm having a baby. And that's a part of it for sure. So, and especially around alcohol, that's part of it when you're at this alcohol conference and you're pregnant and it's like, I think it's good. I haven't had a chance to try it because I'm pregnant. So when I rolled out a new product, but yeah, I haven't felt any, you know, that people have not taken me seriously because I'm a female, especially with cider. They're just so wonderful. The people are just so wonderful in the cider community, but our distributors are great. Maybe it's happening. I don't know. Maybe people are looking at me differently because I'm a female. I don't know.
Okay. So I can understand you because we're in construction. In the beginning, actually, because we're younger, you know, the other general contract. And then me being a female, I feel sometimes overlooked, like, I don't want to talk to you with certain, with certain people. Like,
or they'll talk to your husband.
Yeah. I feel like I had to be, not say manly, but kind of not too girly, if you would say. Did you ever feel you were getting to that point and then you're like, well, I'm sorry, you know, like, this is me, I'm pregnant.
Sure, you know. Yeah, I don't know why. I think that comes even when I would be with my husband Brad and they would be talking to him and he's like, you need to talk to her. She's the one making the decision. Like, you need to talk to her. And he had done a really good job of saying, I mean, he is
addressing it to you, going back to you.
That's just saying, you need to talk to Brooke. But I will say, I have noticed that we have people that we work with in certain situations. And they are uncomfortable, even though I'm the person that kind of brings things to them, or I'm the person that would make that decision. It's like they don't want to upset my husband or something. So they don't want to call me, or they don't want to have, you know, Brooke Glover come up on their phone and their significant other be like, who is that? You know, what's going on there? So they, even though husband has kind of been like, hey, you need to be talking to Brooke, they still direct things to him. He's like, I don't want to talk to you. I'm not involved. So I have seen that a little bit with like a realtor that we work with. I'm like, why are you calling my husband? Call me. And he will not do it. He's like, there's no attraction. I don't like you. I just want to know what's going on with.
Right.
So maybe that's going on. I don't know. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like do you feel like they just don't maybe take you seriously? Because you are a female in a male dominated industry. It's like, you couldn't know what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. And I think, like you said, you know, about your husband, I think that's great, because I think my husband was also too like, hey, I don't want to deal with that, talk to her, email her. But you know, he had to do that a couple of times with the same people over and over, because they just wouldn't get it. And then once they realized, like, okay, well, every time I call, I'm gonna get her, okay, let me just start talking to her now.
Clients
have been great afterwards, you know. But I think it's, you know, getting at the door at the beginning, that it's, you know, it's a little tough. And I, even myself, like you say, I have my kids with me. I'm girly. I like pink. I would show up sometimes to meetings, and I learned not to go walking high heels or whatnot, because construction sites. But it was, I think they expected me to be, you know, in jeans and, you know, construction. And I wouldn't. And I think that's what also at the end, they were like, okay, you know, she might not look like us. At the end of the day, you know, I was able to earn their respect.
Yeah. And I think it's tough that you have to even think that way, that we even have to think about that kind of stuff. I mean, should I wear makeup or should I not wear makeup? Or should I wear, you know, like, should I dress this certain way? And then I was just like, that's just, I'm dressing that way. And if you don't like it, we're not going to, I don't want to do business with you anyway, you know, because I think too that I have two daughters, and I can't show them that is the way that I'm going to act the way that I want to act. That's who I am. And if you don't appreciate it or you don't want to do business, then I don't want to do business with you anyway. So I do feel that things are changing a little bit.
Yeah.
I did have a distributor I was talking to the other day, and I don't know what it is, but they're like, oh, female owned business in alcohol. And so they get excited about that now, and they're more interested in trying to represent you, because I don't know if they have some sort of like, say you have a female,
right.
I don't care, I'll take it, whatever. I mean, right. I'm not going to turn down an opportunity. Most of the guys that we work with, you know, the distributors and things like that, they're very kind and take me seriously.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. And I'm glad, like you say, you know, you have your two daughters, and it's good for them to see you being that industry and being like, okay, that's mommy. She's working and, you know, she's getting it done. And then, you know, and that's good. It's motivation for them also. Hopefully when they're older, it's easier for them.
Right. Right. Exactly. We're trying to get them there. Yeah.
So what about your charity work? I know you guys donate some of the proceeds of yourselves.
My favorite thing to talk about our business. Yeah. It's great. So we have a rescue pup, and her name's Lucy Pickles, and she just had a really tough go of it, right? And so I remember when we were talking about starting this business, it was not even a question. It was, that's going to be a big part of what we do, is to make sure we're giving back, to make sure we're kind of using this company as we get more fans and more customers. They two things. They get to connect with us and they feel a part of something. And then they also get to see things that we care about, and then maybe they'll start caring about, and then maybe they'll tell a friend that'll care about it. And so it just becomes this thing that builds. So it was really important for us to do that. Especially being in alcohol, you know, that was something that was really important to us as a differentiator. We want to make sure we were doing something very positive, and mm-hmm. that there was this positive connotation with when you go out on the shelf and you pull one of our cans off the shelf, you know that you're a part of something. Mm-hmm. So that was really important to us. But we use Lucy sort of as that example for, she's had a really tough go of it. And we thought, we're starting out in this business. We don't know anything about it. It's probably not going to work, but, and we're doing it in the state of West Virginia, which is a teeny state with, it's very difficult to do it, to do an alcohol company in the state of West Virginia because it's so small. We don't have big metropolitan areas like everybody else. We kind of are, this might be a tough go of it. So we're kind of using her as like, she's had a tough go of it. Now she's the face of this company, and let's turn her story around and make her story a positive one. And so we were kind of thinking that, and we decided to go ahead with the start doing the business in West Virginia because we were like, you know what? West Virginia has this connotation and we don't see it like that, but mm-hmm. other people do. And so maybe we can do something and show people what West Virginia can do. We're tough and all those things. And so we just kind of use Lucy as our example. A lot of connections there. Just a lot of connections.
That's the story of Lucy Pickles. The charities that you guys, well, the percentage of the sales, do you guys pick a certain one, or there's one and that's, you know, for all sales?
So we actually do something in our tasting room called Lucy's Tap. And so mm-hmm. We get a dollar off of that pour we give to charity every month. So we pick a different charity every month for that. You know, we only do it in areas where we do business, and we used to do kind of everything. And then we just started getting so many charity requests that we said, okay, we have a lot of animal charities that we really love and that we found that are great. And so we do that. And we do also our bottle of, it's called West Virginia Scrumpy, and we use all donated apples from inside the state. Mm-hmm. And we give that, I mean, we do all the labor and a lot of the picking of the apples as well, and donate all the materials for it. And we sell those. And then we give all that money to charity too. Normally we give that to animal charities. This year we decided that we're going to plant an apple tree in the state of West Virginia for every bottle that we sell. So mm-hmm. I'm currently working on that project as well. And that's to try to get people interested in cider in West Virginia, knowing that we can produce really great apples, stimulate the economy, and all those things that people know that we can do those things.
I love
get some
that.
People to start another state. Yeah. But it's important for us that we do it in our tasting room, and we feature it a lot on our social media so that people can see what we're doing, and that we have those charities that we are investing in, we're interested in. And as we've grown, we say at least 1% of our proceeds go to that just right off the top. I mean, we just give it right to them. But we've been giving a lot more the last couple of years because we found so many things that we're interested in. But here recently, we've been doing Lucy's Tap, but also taking that money and kind of giving it concentrated bundles to groups that we really feel passionate about and that we care about. Because we know that you give $20 to everybody, it doesn't make much of a difference. But right. if you can give some big chunk and things like that, that help.
I love that. I love that about your company. I recently started a CBD company. That's one of the things that I've been looking into, a charity or something, you know, woman-based, giving back to the community.
Yeah, well, we should talk because CBD and alcohol has really been, it's huge now. They're seeing some really big mergers and sales that are happening with these alcohol companies and CBD companies.
Yeah,
and so they're coming together. or like non-alcoholic drinks that they can CBD.
I tried your sangria. Great.
Yeah. I'm glad you like it. Oh, I'm so glad you like it. Yeah.
How do you go about with like that, the flavors and deciding where you're going to put out?
It's a really difficult process, honestly. We have a few that are our flagships that we do year round. And okay. a lot of those are based on, hey, it's really what we like, because we don't put out anything that we don't like. So right. we have to like it. We have to enjoy it, or else we won't put it out. So we like those. Now, some things are from flavors that are hot that you're like, we got it. You know, that's just going on. But then other things like that we see that are kind of trending, we can kind of do those as seasonals. You know, it's funny yeah. because we had been trying to develop a sangria for a while, finally got the recipe right. And you're like, this is going to be great. We love sangria. It's going to be wonderful. Didn't know that this was something that was coming out, and we put it out. And then one of the biggest brand country in cider put out a sangria. And then another brand put out a sangria, and we were like, how are we on trend on this? We didn't even know that anyone was doing that. And so we heard that we were getting ready to announce it like the next week that we were putting out this. And then we heard that the bigger company just and put it out. And we're like, oh, now we're going to have the same product. This stinks. But actually, it ended up being really great because they put it on the floor and it looked like we were both really on trend. And then they would just grab one or the other. And I was like, my hope is that they try ours and try theirs. And
yeah.
Ours more. So I was like, this is good. I felt good about our product. We usually sit around and just recipe test. And my mother-in-law is actually this little, she likes to sit and do all the different flavors and try. Uh-huh. And we all sit around and try it. And so she's really kind of our Frankenstein mad scientist. We have one of our first ciders was called Frankenstein because it was just this like concoction that she put together. She was blending the apples and it was great. So she helps a lot with that. You know, we try to stay on trend, see what's coming, that kind of stuff too. As a small brand, it's really hard to pivot quick and
there's
challenges in the industry right now, such as a can shortage. So you have to order things almost a year in advance. So
wow.
Who in the world's going to know?
That's what I was going to ask you next. Has this whole, 2020, obviously it has affected everybody. How has that affected your business?
You know, alcohol did well through the pandemic, honestly. And that it didn't do much at restaurants and bars, obviously. Those weren't open, but a lot more people were going out the shelves and picking it up. So we just saw a difference in our mix, the way people were
purchasing our products.
Yeah. Okay. So, and we had a lot of online sales. People were really trying to come out and support local, and a lot of people picking up things in our tasting room to go and things like that. That really helped. Biggest thing is the can shortage. I mean, that has affected everybody across the country for cans. Mm-hmm. And it was when we decided to go into cans. I don't know. Everyone else was in bottles and in the cider industry. And we said, we're going to go with cans. And everyone was like, why are you guys going with cans? Why would you do that? You know, nobody else is in cans. And we said, we're going to go in cans and try to do that. So we luckily had already been doing it for a while. And so our suppliers that supply the cans to us, we were already great customers of theirs. We already had a relationship. So when they started kind of rationing the cans for everybody, we already had allotments and things. So people were just starting to try to get into cans. They probably set back.
Wow.
Those are things that customers don't realize, when there's a shortage or whatever. I got to the point where I was like, would you please just send us half a truckload of cans? Like, I'll give you my firstborn. I don't know. Like, we need this
right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't be out on the shelves. You know, if you're out on the shelves and the retailers see that you're on the shelves and they pull you out of the set, it's like all these things that kind of tumble.
Yeah.
You're giving up your firstborn. Yeah. But actually it was a good time for us because there were no events. Mm-hmm. So it allowed us to slow down and really focus on our core business and what we were doing. We also launched a distillery. we were just like, let's do it. And we had plans in place. We decided to go ahead and do it and just take our time getting everything in place and getting everything right. That has been amazing.
Are you still, like you said, like in charge of that?
Yep. So I do the distillery as well. And that business has been wild. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think we knew what it could do, but it has been really great for us. And I think especially in that world, being a female, you don't see that very often.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of really great organizations like Bourbon Women that uh-huh. are doing. So they kind of showcase women in the industry. And so that's cool. It's cool to see that they're starting to get the spotlight.
You talked about, being your mom's side, the business side. What are some tips that, you've learned along the way in managing, that you wish someone would have given you in the beginning?
You mean between motherhood
and business? Yeah.
Business? Oh my, I don't know. Like I'm still figuring it out.
I think we're all a work in progress, but one thing someone would have told you.
Sleep. I would say maybe live closer to some family that can help you take care of the kids when they're really young. I think just decide that what's right for your family, the business is going to have to be good with that. I mean, there's been so many things that we're like, we can't figure that out or we can't do that or that's going to be really tough on us. And then we're just like, hey, well, I'm not going to put my kids through that just to get to that event or whatever. That's really hard on us. So we're just going to have to figure something else out. And you always do. So I wouldn't, I don't know, maybe not get so, gosh, this is a tough question. I don't know. I don't have the right answer. If you know the answer, would you share it with me?
I still struggle with a lot of things. I think to me, my aha moment, I guess, was when I realized that there was going to be some, not like sacrifices. And I And I still struggle with it, but with the whole, I'm not going to make myself bad. Like, I'm not a bad mom. If the dishes aren't done today, I was so hard on myself on, oh my God, I don't want them on screen time too much. Or, you know, all this and all that. And then it got to a point to where it's okay. One day it's not going to kill them. You'll be fine. So I know this is me.
Yeah, I think it's so cliche that everybody says those things, like, just don't worry about it. And you're like, oh, I can't, but it really matters. And it really matters that you take time for yourself, if whatever your hobby is. If it's reading, which I love to do, I'm like, mommy is going to read. You know, I talk to my husband, I'm like, Saturday morning, do you think you could just get the girls? I'm going to get up and I'm going to read, or I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to, you know, do so. I just have recently started to try to kind of work out again, to go to the gym a little bit again, because I was just like, I'm not doing anything for my heart. And I really have had to force myself to say, I'm taking my time at lunch and I'm taking my lunch break and I'm going to go and do something active. I don't care if I'm walking. I don't care if I do one push-up. I don't know. I have to do something, because just for my stress level, you know. And I'd always been an athlete, and I was telling my husband, I just feel like I lost that side of myself. And I'm like, I need to go and find a volleyball game to get into or do something. But, you know, I think reading really helps me a lot too. So just maybe that's my tip. Find something that is just only for you. And even if it's a half an hour a week, do it, put it on your calendar.
One thing I learned. Yes, I was going to tell you that. One thing that I have learned about that is find your non-negotiable, set it up on a meeting, you know, you wouldn't cancel, or, you know, with a client. And at the end of the day, we need to be in our best mindset. And, you know, like you say, you know, exercise for us to give to the kids and our businesses.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Especially when you're like, those 30 minutes, I could be doing something else.
I should be answering that email that I need to get back to. And, you know, it's hard not to look at others and that are in a different situation and think like, well, they're making it work because they don't have any young kids, or they're making it work because they haven't had kids yet, or whatever the situation is. And then you have to think about, well, you don't know what they're dealing with either. So we're all just trying to do what's right for our families, and you just gotta keep going.
Definitely. Well, it was great talking to you.
Oh, you too. It was really a pleasure. It was fun to kind of commiserate. Like I said, I was listening to your podcast, and I felt it. I was like, oh, I know exactly what she's talking about. That whole sleeping, the baby sleeping thing. I'm like, who are you talking about? There's a baby crying. I have to take care of it. What do you mean? So
yeah, I'm glad it resonates. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do the podcast, you know, is, you know, for everybody to feel, because sometimes you feel alone. Like you say, you know, that you're going through it. And I'm like, no, there's a lot of people.
Or they're just, I think that's the other thing. It's a lot of, I don't know anybody who is going through the same. I don't personally know anyone who kind of owns their own business, has their kids, and, you know, all of those things that they do. And it's a lot of them are like, yeah, I work too. And I'm like, yeah, it's just different, you know, for me to have a business that you own compared to working. I've done it all. I've worked while I've had kids, and I've worked for myself while I've had kids, and I've stayed at home with the kids for a little bit. I've done it all. So it is different being a mom, wife, and boss. We're living the mom, wife, and boss life.
Definitely. Well, it was great talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Mom, Wife, and Boss Life podcast. You can continue the conversation online by searching Mom, Wife, and Boss Life on social media, or visiting our website at momwifeandbosslife.com. Thank you.